Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone Bible Study. If you're the first time you have been with us, we're here every Sunday morning at 11:15. We try to stay in one book of the Bible and go verse by verse until we squeeze as much out of it as we can. We don't go very fast, so we linger a little bit on these verses. So we welcome you here today. I want to make sure everybody has a set of notes for today, fill in the blank notes for today's lesson. We are in Jonah chapter 1 still, and we're going to be in verses 3 through 10. I always like to back up a little bit, kind of like a soap opera, and back up just a little bit to kind of catch you up. Last week, our lesson was the second part of our lesson entitled, where Jonah said, "Here am I, send someone else." And so we learned last week that God calls particular people to do particular purposes. In this case, Jonah's case, we find his God's calling on him. He was a prophet of God. God's calling on him was to go to a town named Nineveh to preach against sin, to preach. The best place to go is where those that need to hear the word of the Lord. But when God called Jonah, he replied in so many ways, "Here am I, send someone else." He said, "I'm hooking them to Tarshish." And so last week, we saw that Jonah's call was a personal call. It was to Jonah personally, no one else, to him personally. His call was personal. Also, not only was his call personal, but his call was pointed. God said, "Go to Nineveh." He told him, pointed the direction to Nineveh in the east. Go to Nineveh. And it was a clear call, and it was an urgent call. And God gave him the assignment to go to Nineveh to preach. Nineveh was a large, large city. It exceeded over 100,000 people. But it was a really a pagan city. It was a city of great wickedness. It was the capital of Assyria. And why would God call Jonah to go to Nineveh when Nineveh was a Gentile city? God was dealing with the Jews. Why God picked certain places, we don't know. But people need the Lord. We know that. And Jonah had a particular call to go to a particular pointed call, going to a particular place to preach. The problem was that Jonah took it upon himself to decide whether it was a legitimate call or not. The Jews hated the Assyrians, and Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And so it was like oil and water. It didn't mix. And but it was also a purposeful call. We learned that it was to go to Nineveh and preach against sin. God's call was directed to Jonah to a particular place, Nineveh, but he had a purpose in it. God wanted Jonah to go and preach against the wickedness there, and he was never vague in his call. Never vague it was in his call. And so as we looked last week also, we knew that there was some reasons for Jonah's fall. Jonah's fall was calculated. It says here, verse number 3, "But Jonah..." Jonah calculated whether he wanted to go or accept the assignment or not. And the Bible tells us that what he decided to do is he went down to Joppa, he found a ship, and he bought a ticket. See, it was calculated. He knew what he was doing. It was a calculated decision. And what we need to remember, though, is when we go to Tarshish in our lives and God has called us to Nineveh in our lives, we go without his blessing. And so we don't know why Jonah did what he did, but it was a calculated decision. But it was a continuous fall. He went down, and he went down, and he went down, and he went down. And as you begin to walk in disobedience, you're in a downward spiral. But also what it was with Jonah, it was a costly fall. The Bible says Jonah paid the fare. He went down and found a ship in Joppa. He paid the fare. He paid his way to disobedience. The prodigal son paid the fare. David paid the fare. But the most expensive thing a person can ever do is run from God. It costs some people their jobs, others their families, some their reputations, and many their lives. And sin always will cost you more than you want to pay. always costs you more than you want to pay. And so this week we start our new lesson. This lesson is entitled, How to Leave the Lord. Lessons on Leaving the Lord. We're in Jonah chapter 1. We pick up in verses 3 through 10. If you have your notes, I believe everybody has them this morning. My introduction to you is, I wonder if you've ever left anything and was not able to get it back. You've ever lost anything and was not able to get it back. Probably today, we feel like one of the worst things we could lose and not get back will be our smartphones, because our phones have everything on it. Everything that you can think of is on there. Your emails and your texts and your phones and all your contacts and your contact numbers and your addresses. It has your calendar on there, where you're supposed to be. Some don't even know where they're supposed to be this afternoon if they lost their phone. And so I don't know if you ever lost anything and was not able to get it back. Jonah has it's a vivid picture here where Jonah gives us of what it cost to leave God. He did not obey God. He decided he would exercise his own will. He thought he knew better than God. Why would God want to save, or why would God want to appeal? Why would God want him to preach to the Ninevites, who were ranked pagans? And so he took it upon himself to go down to Joppa. And he found a boat headed the other direction. He found a boat going to another town called Tarshish. And so he decided he was going to leave and go the opposite way. But he also went as far away as he could. So if you have your notes, we'll pick up here. And I'm going to share with you some things that Jonah left. Some things that Jonah lost in his decision. We pick back up in verses 3 here, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship and he bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee the Lord. Verse 3. When Jonah made that decision, ladies and gentlemen, he left his aspirations. He had a calling of God to go to Nineveh. This was God's will for his life. He was a prophet of God, a man of God, and he had aspired to know God's way until he left the will of God. Then he also left his aspirations behind. In other words, he resigned his calling. Everything in the book of Jonah obeys God's will except for Jonah. We're going to see that God sent the waves and they obeyed, and God used the casting of lots and they obeyed, and God used a storm and they obeyed, and God used a large fish and that fish obeyed, and God used a worm and that worm obeyed. God used birds that fulfill the will of God in their lives, and snakes fulfill the will of God. But man did not. Jonah did not. Man was made to fellowship with God, and he's the only one of all of God's creation who was not fulfilling his purpose and will in this story here. Some people think they can get out of the will of God and maintain their Christian aspirations at the same time. They're deceived into believing that they can go on in their sin and God's mercy will simply cover them. God sends storms of chastisement on his people when they're out of his will. And the wind and the rain that beat against us are God's way of getting us to wake up and come to our senses. What about us? Are we fulfilling our purpose, what God has in mind for you? Maybe a calling on your life? Are we in the will of God? Have we somehow found a boat to Tarshish and we're going to the opposite direction? One thing certain, when we leave the Lord, we leave our aspirations behind also. The second thing that Jonah left or lost as he headed toward Tarshish is he left his obligations. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, it says, Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all of the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, spelled with a little G. And they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he laid down and he fell into a deep sleep. I can't imagine falling into a deep sleep in the middle of a storm. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? get up and call on your God. And it's spelled with a little G, because this captain had was not even referring to Yahweh at this point, because all these gods that they kind of worship, these sailors were, these pagan sailors are calling on all kind of gods out there to save them. But the captain said to Jonah, how can you sleep? Get up and call your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish. Jonah 1, 4 through 6. You see, the crew was frantic. They were praying to their own gods. These rugged sailors had seen many a storm on the Mediterranean Sea, and it took quite a storm to get them alarmed, and they were alarmed. And then the Bible says, and Jonah. You see, Jonah was indifferent and unconcerned. In fact, he was sound asleep. That shouldn't surprise us. This usually happens to men and women who leave God. They leave their obligations behind as well. And Jonah was the only man on board the ship who knew God Yahweh. He was the only man who could lay hold of God and intercede in behalf of the situation. And he was asleep. While the others on board were fighting for their lives, Jonah was sleeping. He is no different from a lot of professing Christians who are in the same boat. So many of us seem to be at ease while our society's ship is sinking. So many people seem to be asleep while the storm is raging. It's hard to believe that Jonah could sleep in such a storm. It shows how insensitive we can become. See, sin hardens the heart. When we are on the run from the Lord's will, it is inevitable that we will become what I call spiritually insensitive. We become spiritually insensitive to the things of God. Maybe your heart used to be warm toward the gospel, and you used to aspire to do great things for God. Or you used to take seriously your obligations as a Christian. But something happened so that you've turned aside and you tried to forget what God wants of you. The trouble with Jonah was that he was content with his rebellion. As long as our hearts are broken over our sin, as long as it keeps us awake at night, there's still hope for us. That's conviction. But when our sin doesn't bother us, it's a danger signal, a danger signal. The third thing that Jonah lost, or he left when he headed toward Tarshish, was he lost all communication with God. Verse 7 says, then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots. Let's roll some dice here. Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. You see, even the lots obeyed God. Verse 7 of chapter 1. You see, when we leave the will of God, we leave the ability to hear God. Jonah had a God who spoke to him. He had a personal God. And when he left the will of God and decided to do his own thing, he also left his ability to communicate with God, for God to speak to him and for Jonah to listen. Listen to the captain of the ship. When the waves of death were lashing against his ship, he suddenly believed in prayer. You know, fair-weather sailors are found not just in the open sea. They're also found in our churches. That sometimes we don't pray to God until we have a real need, or we're in a calamity, or we're one step away from a tragedy. But the verse said in this verse said two words, but Jonah. See, he was not praying. There's no evidence here that Jonah called on God. Later he did, but not here. Do you know why? He was regarding sin in his heart, and God would not hear him. You find that in Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18 said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord God will not hear me. You see, the first prayer for a believer, a Christian, when we're praying to God, is you need to make sure things are right in your fellowship with God. Your relationship is permanent. God will never leave you nor forsake you if you've invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart. But what can happen because of our disobedience is we break the fellowship with God. And Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity, if I know there's sin in my life, the Lord God's not going to hear me. You see, when we live in open and unrepented sin in our lives, we cannot communicate with God. The sailors cast lots and the storm was raging. The inevitable had come, and it always does. We can hide for a little while, but sooner or later we will be found out. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." It's a sad day when a saint of God has to be exposed before an unbelieving world, but that is what happened to Jonah. Every time one of us fail and fall down, it hurts the cause of Christ. Our church has kind of a mission statement here that we desire our people at Sagemont Church to be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. That means that as we're out in our community and we live our lives in our neighborhoods, as we go to work, as we go to school, that wherever we are, that we're to be living proof that is walking and talking and breathing to a watching world, because people are watching us all the time, to be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. Since Jonah would not listen to God, God had to speak to him through the storm and through the sailors. Some of the storms in life occur because that is the only way God can get our attention. Jonah also lost another thing. Jonah lost his reputation. Jonah chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, "So they ask him, 'Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What did you do? Where did you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' He answered, and he confessed that he was a Hebrew, he was a Jew, and that he worshiped the Lord Yahweh, God Yahweh, the God of heaven who made the sea and land. This terrified them, and they asked, 'What have you done?'" See, they knew that he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them. Jonah was the only man, ladies and gentlemen, that were on board ship who knew the living God, Yahweh. And now, in leaving that God, he had also lost his reputation. You see, we all have a reputation. I believe after salvation, all we have is our reputation. And Jonah not only left his assignment that God gave him, but when he left, he lost his reputation. A powerless Christian is a pitiful person to witness. Matthew 5:13 says, "If the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything." Like Jonah, we hurt the testimony of Christ if we claim to be Christians and we do not live like it. The thing that gets me most about this part of Jonah's pilgrimage is that he lost his testimony. He lost his testimony that no one was going to listen to him. It's amazing to note that questions which Jonah was bombarded with in these verses. Look at it. How can you sleep? Who is responsible? What did you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? What have you done? Could it be that people who are around are asking the same questions about me and you? It's a sad day when a prophet of God, a believer of Christ, a worshiper of Christ has to be asked, "What is your occupation? Who are you?" If someone has to be around us for a period of time and has to ask us if we are Christians, then we're not on a ship going to Tarshish. And what a question Jonah was asked. Why have you done this? Verse 10. What a rebuke. And this question came from a lost man. Jonah was found out. He had concealed his identity. Some of us have worked in an office for years, and it might be a surprise to your fellow workers that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. If we found ourselves out of God's will, know that we will be very, very unhappy fugitive. God will not let us go unchecked. He will follow us. He will pursue us. He will bring even a storm into our life to get our attention. Thank God for the storm. God did not have to send a storm. The storm was a sign that God was not through with Jonah yet. Remember, God sent the storm. Some of us have been blaming the storm experiences in our lives for the difficulties when all the while it was a loving Father calling us home. If you remember the story of the prodigal son, he thought and bought into the myth that the essence of life is to get away from the Father. He was tired of that farm. He was tired of the chores. He was tired of living there. He wanted to go into the big city and live on his own. And the Father let him. And he bought into the myth that the essence of life is to get away from the Father. In reality, ladies and gentlemen, as I close today, reality, the essence of life is to come home to the Father. The prodigal son found that out when he came back to his father, and he came back repentant and broken over his sin. And the father killed the fatted calf, covered him with a robe, his robe of righteousness, and gave him shoes that he was worthy to walk anywhere he wanted to, and put a ring on his finger representing that sonship, that the real essence of life is to come home to the Father. Jonah's going to find that out in the book of Jonah. He's going to find that out the hard way. That the myth was to get as far away from God as you can. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't get away from God. It doesn't matter how many miles you travel on a ship the opposite direction, you'll never get away from God. And the reality is to come home to the Father. For those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And the essence of life is really to come home to the Father, honor him and obey him. And when he gives you an assignment, you go in the right direction to fulfill it. We close today. I want to tell you that next week, our lesson is entitled Calm in the Storm. Calm in the Storm. And we will look at next week as you come back. We'll be in chapter 1 still. We'll never get out of chapter 1, it looks like. We're going to cover verses 11 through 17. If you want to read ahead, we're going to talk about the storm that God brought into Jonah's life to get his attention, to get him back on track. And that's what you do when you repent. You turn 180 degrees and go back the other direction that you're walking. He was sailing to Tarshish out of disobedience. He's going to turn 180 degrees and get back to Nineveh. God's going to use Jonah in Nineveh, but it's going to be a tough, tough road to get there. And our prophet Jonah is going to learn some hard, hard lessons that really the essence of life is to come home to the Father. Let's pray.